This is the Diamonds in the Desert podcast. Haley Stasiak and Jordan Hamm. Jumping right into things here, Diamondbacks did not have a good weekend at all against the Braves. Lost 3-4 to Atlanta while in town at Chase Field. They now hit the road for the Rockies and the Astros. Let's first discuss this 4 errors, 10-inning loss against the Braves on Saturday. That, I mean, the weekend was going decently, I guess you could say. I mean, they got the win on Friday, so the series was maybe on its way to a split. They're in extras, and, I mean, early errors in the first and second inning plagued them going deeper into this game, and then the 10th inning just unraveled as well.
Yeah, and I think if you're a Diamondbacks fan and you come out of this saying there was a split, a four-game split between the Braves and the Diamondbacks, you'd probably feel okay about it. But just the way that the loss happened, I think, is a particular gut punch. The errors plagued them. They were able to bounce back, have that four-run, what was it, sixth inning, where it was a nice bounce back for them. The errors, particularly four guys like Descalzo, Peralta, those are two of your better defenders. And the errors are going to happen.
Goldschmidt, too.
Yeah, Goldschmidt.
That was the late one.
The errors are, that's part of baseball. They're going to happen. They usually don't snowball on the Diamondbacks like that. And you're just at a point in the season where mistakes like that can't happen, and they can't be compounded upon each other like that. So they were able to bounce back okay. But that really set themselves up poorly and kind of playing from behind, not able to play that downhill baseball that Torre Lovello always loves.
It's not just those errors that weren't or that didn't go their way. It was the bullpen as well. Specifically, I want to take a look here at Brad Boxberger. He got the save on Friday in the lone win on the weekend. It was his 32nd save of 2018, but a key part of two of those losses. On Thursday, he was credited with the loss after Yoshi Hirano out of the bullpen came in and threw a wild pitch that led to a runner scoring that Brad Boxberger was responsible for. And that ended up being what the Braves needed to win that game on Thursday. And then on Sunday in this finale, he recorded his 7th blown save of the year, and he was also credited the loss. He allowed 3 hits, including a 3-run home run by Braves Ender Inciarte, former Diamondback, who
hurt the Diamondbacks as well.
And that was in the 9th, so that would seal the win for the Braves as well. So, I mean, we've seen good stuff out of Brad Boxberger, but this is not the time that you want your bullpen doing what this Diamondbacks bullpen did this past weekend.
No, in his last 4 appearances, 3 of them, he's given up runs. In all 3 of those, he earned the loss. And that's when you're a closer, you're going to be in those high leverage situations. You're going to be in those high pressure situations. You're probably going to get tagged with a loss if you come in and you aren't perfect. But again, this is starting to compound upon itself. And, you know, we talked a lot about Archie Bradley's struggles recently. Where does Torre Lovello go now as your go-to guy? I know that he has expressed confidence in them. They've shown for, let's say, 80% of the season so far that they have been rock solid and a lot of times the strength of this team. But I don't know when there is that tough situation and you need to get those 1 or 2 key outs. I'm not sure who that person is in the lineup or in the bullpen. I don't know if it's a Brad Ziegler. I don't know if it's on the left side.
Ziegler had a good outing on Friday, too, in that win.
Yeah, and, you know, if it's on the left-hand side, I mean, I know over the past season I have expressed how I think T.J. McFarland's role should expand and be in those. I think those are the two guys right now, but for most of the season you had 4 or 5 guys you could go to. Now it's kind of that Fernando Rodney situation from last year where I think there's a moderate amount of confidence when someone will come into the game, but it's kind of like, ooh.
That's something you asked me.
I remember the last 2 weeks how this went.
You asked me. You said, would you rather have Fernando Rodney or Brad Boxberger as your closer? I think it was last week that you just randomly brought this up, and I was like, I don't know. Fernando Rodney gave me a certain kind of anxiety when he came onto the bump, but now you're looking at Brad Boxberger in this past weekend, and it's not the same anxiety that I would say that I had when I would see Rodney coming in when you've got your story written and have to rewrite, but.
In this scenario, I would still probably go Boxberger.
I agree, yes.
These are the high-pressure situations, but the playoff teams have those guys where if it's if they're struggling, they have kind of a couple backup go-tos. I'm not really sure who those go-tos are right now in this current state of the bullpen.
Let's get into kind of those Brave former Diamondbacks that are now Braves, given Diamondbacks some trouble. On Saturday, part of that 10th inning fall apart was a little bit of base running. So it wasn't only fielding errors. It wasn't only the bullpen kind of falling apart, but the base running, which we've seen in this last month some problems with, had an issue as well. A.J. Pollock's singled up the middle with two outs in the 10th. They were down two runs. Souza Jr. would score, but Tony Perez-Chica, third base coach for the Diamondbacks, would send Nick Ahmed from second as he was coming around, and he was gunned down by shortstop Dansby Swanson, who was the 2015 draft pick for the Diamondbacks. And that would be the final out of the game. So,
yeah, I mean, and in most cases, I'll say I'm fine with a base runner and a third base coach trying to force the defense to make a play. But you just have
knowing
to,
that defense,
you have to be aware. And with Dansby Swanson has one of the better arms at shortstop, one of the more accurate arms, and he put a perfect throw. And that same thing happened a couple weeks ago with Brandon Crawford, where they tried to, you know, try to sneak in an extra.
Right, and Nick Ahmed missed a stop sign in the last couple weeks, too.
It was,
like, it's
Ahmed
a culmination again, of a bunch of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and then the short, but you got to know who has those lasers for arms, and I would put Brandon Crawford and Dansby Swanson at the top of the list for those two.
Let's talk a little bit about some of those offensive efforts.
Hold on, hold on. We just scratched the surface with the former Diamondbacks.
Oh, you want to get deeper into these? Okay.
I mean,
let's do it.
You also have Tukey Toussaint, who started for Sunday, was solid. At one time, he was no-hitting the Diamondbacks, but ended up, what, like 5 1/3?
He's come up to the Braves and played very well,
And he was a guy that they essentially traded the contract. Basically, the Diamondbacks said to the Braves, you take Bronson Arroyo's contract, we'll give you Tukey Toussaint. And at that time, and this was a former Diamondbacks front office regime.
And all of this former Diamondbacks were part of that,
And Tukey Toussaint at that time was a top three or four pitcher in the farm system, when the farm system wasn't the strength that it had been in the, you know, mid to late 2000s. So Tukey comes in, is rock solid. You also have Ender Inciarte, who is a fan favorite, a part of that Dansby Swanson trade, kind of an afterthought, but he's played Gold Glove quality outfield for them since going over there, been atop the lineup, and just a guy that kind of what he did on a smaller scale with the Diamondbacks, because he was a younger player. He's really flourished in Atlanta, but he has the go-ahead home run off of Boxberger in Sunday's game. So it was just kind of, again, it's like what we were talking about last weekend, where if it's a loss, okay, but it's the way that the losses have come about. And from the
and this people, weekend especially.
From the Matt Kemps, from the former Diamondbacks, it just adds, honestly, a little bit of poetry to it. But it's, if you're a Diamondback fan, that just makes it sting that much more, that it was those former guys and that high price you had to pay to get Shelby Miller. And you know, Shelby's had his injury issues and things like that. But, you know, just to have those guys come out and do that, that's got to sting a little bit more for the Diamondback fans.
And the current front office has definitely made changes and trades and adjustments that have impacted this team for the better. But you look back and you think, what if that former front office hadn't done what they did? Where would this team be now with a Dansby Swanson, with an Ender Inciarte in the lineup, with all these other kind of
and
things that have clicked for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, and if we go down that path, then, you know, if
then
if
it's just the what if game. If this had happened,
Martinez wouldn't have come to the Diamondbacks. Maybe they wouldn't have had the money to, you know, re-sign some of these players or make the deals. So it's like a choose your own adventure. You don't know what path it would go down, but just to have that affiliation of former Diamondback is always tough for the fan base.
Obviously wasn't a good weekend, but just to point out a couple offensive efforts here, Paul Goldschmidt, MB Paul as they're calling him. Thursday he went 3 for 5 with a double and a home run. That homer tied the game and forced the extras. Got the loss on Thursday still. Friday he went 2 for 2 with a home run, and Sunday he went 1 for 3 with a triple. He's batting .298 for the season. Pretty good series here. And Nick Ahmed had a good series as well. at the plate batting wise, not so much on the bases, but he batted .445 average on the weekend.
And Paul Goldschmidt, now your franchise leader in walks.
Yes.
Overtook Luis Gonzalez for that one. And again, the stat that I always go back to, I'm not sure the exact title of the stat, but it's essentially the hitter that gets screwed over the most by the strike zone and the umpires, who kind of stretches the zone the most, and it's Paul Goldschmidt. And he's still able to accumulate a lot of walks, even when he's not hitting the home runs or those, you know, line drives to the gap driving in runs. He still finds a way to be on base. And, again, think back to May when people were thinking,
season's falling apart.
Is this the downfall of Paul Goldschmidt? Should they try to trade him and bring up Taven Smith? And, you know, everyone's hair is on fire.
Yeah.
But everyone kind of goes back to who they are. And Paul Goldschmidt has done that and then some. And, he's a big reason why that they're, despite all of these struggles we've discussed, he's one of the reasons why they're currently still in this race.
Well, and despite the bullpen falling apart, these fielding errors, the base running errors, the Braves and former Diamondbacks overpowering this Diamondbacks team, there were some moments at the plate. A.J. Pollock, David Peralta, John Jay on Sunday, Daniel Descalso, some clutch.
David Peralta on Sunday comes in and gets a big base hit.
Yeah, Daniel Descalso always clutch in those big moments sometimes as well. So it was there for the offense somewhat. It was just this time of year, everything has to click on all cylinders at the same time. You can't have some of it clicking every so often.
And we've discussed it a lot where you have your kind of three phases of the game, or I guess if you want to split the starters and the relievers into the four phases of the game, it's really been April where all four things were really clicking.
Yeah.
And since then, the Diamondbacks have had that cushion and have been able to still kind of leverage that into be where they are. But aside from a really solid June, they've played about .500 quality baseball the rest of the way. But they had such a nice lead to begin with that they were able to still be in this playoff hunt. And it's getting to crunch time. It's the last couple of weeks of the season. You saw the stat where they had like 17 straight games against first-place quality teams.
Teams, I think, over .500,
yeah.
I believe.
And, I mean, you're going to have to prove it right now, and you're going to have to step up to the big stage. It's just who's going to shore up the bullpen? We saw what Robbie Ray did and his resurgence and how he's been able to bounce back. He was a big question mark for a big chunk of the season. Now it seems like he's one of the more solid guys, and it's like, okay, you can let him go deep into the ball game, but you need to have all four of those phases working for you, and you're going to have to do it against some really good teams throughout the rest of the season.
Taking a look here at the NL West now, Arizona is 2.5 games back from Colorado. LA only half a game back from Colorado. They took 2-3 at Coors Field, keeping this thing close. Diamondbacks will now take on the Rockies 4 games at Coors Field, and then they go to Houston where they play 3 games against the Astros, defending World Series champs for the second time this season. I mean, you look at this and it seems like, oh, it's only 2.5 games back. But if you don't go to Colorado and you don't take 3 of these games, you're finding yourself in a position where you're way out of contention. I think this race is still okay. It's close enough. It's not like they're 11 games back like San Francisco and there's no shot necessarily, unless all 3 of these teams one of them has to win, considering they're playing each other here in this last month. But, I mean, there's still hope, but you can't, going back to clicking on all cylinders at the same time, you can't do that 1 or 2 games a week. You have to consistently do it through the rest of these games every single day. So, I mean, you look at this NL West, it's been a crazy year.
Yeah.
A crazy, crazy
year. And I think that was kind of what was expected. The teams that are in the race are in the race, and I think some thought that the Giants were going to be in that race. They hung around for a while. It seems like they've kind of conceded with Buster Posey ending his season early for surgery and things like that. But
sending McCutcheon.
It's just so many strange layers to this, because it's not as cut and dry as Diamondbacks need to do really well against the Rockies, because simultaneously the Dodgers are playing the Reds.
That's true.
And the Reds are the Reds.
The Reds are the Reds. However, they did give the Diamondbacks a little bit. They have given teams.
Right, yeah.
So it's baseball and you never know. But when you're looking at this in September, the Dodgers.
Yeah, when you're looking at it on paper and you look at the gauntlet the Diamondbacks have to go through in September, and then you see on the other side, okay, Dodgers have to play the Reds. Okay, you know, they have a series against the Padres. Again, they wrap up against the Giants. Seems a little more favorable. Right. So the Diamondbacks could make some progress, but then there still sits the Dodgers. So,
which is kind of the way it was last year too.
Yeah, and as baseball fans, this is what we love.
Yep, September
but
baseball.
But it's not as cut and dry as just like, oh yeah, take those three games and then you leapfrog the Rockies and bingo.
No,
you're good.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to be discussing these scenarios here. My guess is until the very bitter end of September.
30th, yep. That's what we've got for you this week on the Diamonds in the Desert podcast. Be sure to keep it on sports360az.com for more Diamondbacks news. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.